seamlessly blending technical virtuosity and comedic brilliance, Mosel Brass delights audiences with humor and wit worthy of Monty Python, performing at Libby Gardner Concert Hall on October 18th. Tickets and info at utahpresents.org. Hi, I'm Alexander Ortega, Managing Editor for Slug, and you're listening to Slug Soundwaves, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, covering music, arts, lifestyle, and events. In this episode, we'll be speaking with two local galleries in SLC, Quack and Umoca. Quack is an SLC art gallery that primarily displays contemporary art from artists around the country. The gallery originally started in Ephraim, Utah, and its initial stand for the Central Utah Art Center, displaying their artwork in one of the city's oldest structures. In 2012, the city evicted the gallery from its residency, which the gallery called foul on in the public eye as a small town censoring its only art gallery. Quack moved to Salt Lake City and took up residence downtown along 200 South, in between another art gallery and the beer bar. Slug senior staff writer Mariah Mellis sat down to speak with Quack executive director and curator Adam Bateman to talk about the gallery and its current missions.
Tell me a little bit about what's going on over at Quack. You like to be called Quack.
Yeah, actually, I'm really excited about our new show. So we have, like what we usually do, we try to pair a Utah artist with an artist from out of state in some way where there's some sort of like thematic or aesthetic overlap in some way. So our Utah artist is a young artist named Sean Moyer, who's really great. He just had a show at Umoca not too long ago, and now he's working really hard on a really big show for us. Sean is kind of transforming our back gallery space into retail environment for his little modernist plastic sculptures that are sort of exist both as like a kitschy kind of flashy object and as like high art.
And, that's hard to do because I'm thinking like little 3D printing kitschy things. And
yeah, so what he does is he gets like Mylar and then he covers it with window tinting material from like industrial buildings, like copper, gold, silver colored window tinting, and then he folds them into these really complex sort of like gem-like forms that are transparent and beautiful and reflective and made out of sort of cheap, weird, kitschy materials, but also like really beautiful and cool. So he's going to have them up on shelves on the wall and carpet the floor with nice plush carpet and have it so it's sort of like you're walking into
a boutique that you would buy.
Or like the Apple store
in somewhere.
Yeah, and of course it's for sale.
It's a gallery. You should make money eventually.
It was a nonprofit art gallery, but a big part of our mission is to promote local artists and also to promote the understanding of collecting contemporary art because there's lots of collection and support for regional art, meaning like landscape painting and stuff that's dealing with a really important regional community we have here. However, we want to help both contemporary artists here in Salt Lake and also, well, in Utah generally, and also Utah collectors understand how to think about collecting contemporary art.
Yeah, and I think people need a little lesson in that, so that's great that you're providing
that. Even though it's a nonprofit organization, we like to have the work available for sale for those reasons, and we're always happy to, like, if someone wants to buy the art or, like, thinks maybe I want some contemporary art, we're happy to help them understand it. And as a nonprofit, it's a no-pressure sales situation, and we're happy to sort of, like, walk people through it and, like,
I love that.
Tell people about other things that are available that we're not even selling. So.
Sure. I mean, and I feel like people need an education in how to collect art, but then also to not be afraid or ashamed. Money is not a dirty word in the art world. You can talk about it, and you can talk about making money as an artist. You should, if that's what your profession is. We would hope you would be able to make at least a living on it.
Yeah,
if
it
not
be great?
A good living. Yes,
I
art
think how
should.
Much better artists would be if they could just like work
focus
in their studios,
on just
right?
art. Yeah, if they weren't trying to also wait tables or drive cabs.
Pizza delivery boys or whatever, yeah.
Exactly. So I like that it's not such a dirty thing that you're working on the education of it.
So our other artist that I'm also really excited about is named Chris Wiley, and he is based in New York City. And
excellent.
Chris is a very successful artist. He's also a young artist. He's 35. However, in the last year, he's had a show at PS1, which is the contemporary art museum operated by the Museum of Modern Art in New York City.
Uh-huh.
It's a very prestigious institution, obviously. He also had a show last year at Hauser & Wirth Gallery in Chelsea, New York City. And that's one of the biggest blue chip galleries in the world.
Nice.
And the gallery he works with personally is called the Nikhil Bushin Gallery in the Lower East Side, which is also a very reputable young gallery.
So he's exploding all over the scene right
now. Yeah, and he's really amazing. But not only that, he's also a curator. And as a curator, he's done some really cool things. So he co-curated a show called The Younger Than Jesus Show at the New Museum in New York City.
Which so that would be all artists under the age of 42.
33.
Or 33. Oh, wow. I don't know my Bible very well. Oh, well, I think
it
depends on which one you should be. I thought he was older. Sorry.
No, that's all right. So,
33. Okay, so all the artists were younger than Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So he also, 2 years ago, co-curated the Venice Biennale, which I'm sure the listeners are familiar with, but it's basically like the Art Olympics. It's every country in the world gets their own booth to show their one best artist, and they also select one or two curators to select a show of, 100 to 200 artists in a couple of very large buildings that are sort of like their take on this is the state of the art world.
That's
and so
wonderful.
He was selected as one of those curators to curate the most important art show in the world.
Wow.
And so this guy's a really, really great guy to have in Utah. I mean, he's seriously a fantastic artist and also a very important curator.
We're so
and to have him come and hang
him.
Out, it's really great. He also deals with work that's kind of like what Sean does, so dealing with ideas of formalism and like traditional ideas about fine high art and this like sort of snooty importance, and also combining that with more like kitsch elements. So for example, Chris takes photographs that he calls something, I can't remember the exact thing he calls them, sorry Chris, but I think that it's something like mathematical compositions. But basically what he does is he takes photographs that are mathematically perfect compositions according to the rules of composition.
Okay.
And they're often sort of read as abstract shapes, but they're compositionally supposedly, according to the modernists, mathematically perfect.
Okay.
And then he builds sculptural frames for them, which are kind of kitschy. And so, like, sometimes he'll have a frame that's made with, like, made out of seashells or maybe fur or something like that. That's, like, super ridiculously over-the-top kitschy.
Sure.
And so he's juxtaposing those two elements. And then they're one of a kind. So he doesn't, even though they're photographs, he only will print one of each photograph because it goes with that particular frame and that's it.
That's
and so
wonderful.
It kind of comes out of the realm of photography in that way. And then he also is going to install these as an installation with wallpaper-like patterny stuff that's going to go all over the walls that become part of the thing and reflect
what's happening
with the
photographs. So you're really going to be absorbed into this whole process by coming in the doors and having walls and the shapes and...
Yeah, so both shows will sort of present an installation-like environment, but will also be featuring like individual objects that try to really blend these two sides of interest between a snooty formalism with like lowbrow kitschy materials. So,
which is great because we have a little bit of both of that in probably everyone here.
Probably.
Like there's a point where you're like, come on, there's some kitsch in me that I really admire, and I have, if you were to come and look at my collection, there'd be some things that I can't explain why I love them, but I love them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a total hick. I grew up in Ephraim, Utah, and it's like Ephraim and New York City are two of my favorite places.
You've got some antlers somewhere, right?
Oh,
there's
totally.
Some antlers hanging up somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. I got some camo.
But at the same time, you understand, but you also understand the world of art and can appreciate all those things too. So,
right. So that's
cool. Have those worlds combined together.
Yeah.
So this is a big show for you guys. I mean, to have all of that installation going on and to be set up. So, I mean, you can come on Gallery Stroll the third Friday of the month. And this show opens when and closes when, and then you can come any of those times,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so this show opens on September 18th. So when you're listening to this, maybe 4 or 5 days ago. And it runs for 2 Gallery Stroll cycles.
Good.
So it'll also be open in October and run right through the first week of November, and then we'll switch with our next exciting show.
Nice.
TBA.
So, TBA. Well, I like that.
I know what it is.
Yeah, we're not gonna promote that yet because we need to have you come back on the show
exactly.
to promote that. For the second Gallery Stroll, the October Gallery Stroll, can we meet Sean when he comes?
I'm sure Sean will be around.
Excellent.
In October, yeah.
I really appreciate the opportunities to meet the local artists, and I mean, as much as I would love to meet Chris and be, just in his presence with this, his understanding and his global perspective, I think that it's also fun if you can't make it and if you're only first hearing about it now and it's already happened, don't miss out on the opportunity to still meet the artist. That's one of the best parts of Gallery Stroll.
Yeah, especially because Sean is super shy. And so go and ask him lots of questions. Put him on the spot.
Excellent.
Make him talk about his art. I don't know. Make him talk about his love life. Whatever.
Just ask him how much everything costs and why.
Yeah, exactly.
So that it really makes him feel awkward. But, you know, that's what happens is I think as artists, and that's why gallery style is so important, is to get the artist out of their shell, out of their studio, talking about art, relating to the viewer. And it helps them to create in the long run to go back in the studio and create again with a better understanding of how they talk about their art and how they are to, you know, how they relate it to the viewer, because we're all charging this cycle, so.
Totally. So, you know, something else that a lot of people don't know about Quack, because this is kind of a new project we have, and it's with the Salt Lake Film Society at the Broadway Movie Theater.
Yeah, and we love the Broadway.
Yeah, it's awesome. They approached us and asked us to maybe do something in their lobby, and so we worked out a deal where we have like a little gallery space kind of thing inside of their lobby where we are featuring local artists, and also sometimes we'll be featuring local artists in the courtyard out front if they're sculptors.
Nice, right. And the weather's good and you can get them out there.
Yeah. Right now we have Justin Carruth, who is a fantastic
Amazing.
Local painter. I mean,
love
so
him.
Good. He has a show of paintings in there that are really great, all oil paintings, and that's going to come down in the first week of October.
I think I saw October 3rd, so it's like if this airs the 24th, again, predicting the future, then we need to get these people in there before it's over.
Yeah, exactly. So you can go in and watch a movie and check out Justin's show, or you can just go in and check out his show. You don't need a ticket.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So you can come in and, you know, they have great popcorn and drinks. You could just buy popcorn and drinks and go check out art.
Yeah, you could eat popcorn while looking at paintings.
That doesn't happen that often.
Yeah. But it's really great because, you know, they get a ton of visitors going through there. And so it's great exposure for these local artists to be seen by so many people. And I've been hearing from the staff at the Film Society that people have been really engaging with the art and really sitting down and looking at it and talking about it. And so I feel like it's been a real success so far. In October, we actually don't have the opening date figured out yet, but it's going to be about a week after Justin's show comes down. Brian Christensen, who is a professor at BYU and a great sculptor, is making a show specifically for this space. He'll put two large sculptures out in front of the Broadway in the courtyard area, and then he'll have three or four sculptures inside of the lobby area. And they're really great. It's kind of a new body of work for him that hasn't really been seen around. I'm really excited about those.
Nice. That's something that, and if they're out in the courtyard, then if you're on your way to lunch or you're driving by, you can kind of admire and then also come in a little bit closer and check it out on your way to a film, or just come, like you said, just to come in and view the art.
Yeah, exactly. And in fact, Brian's work, we're going to install the courtyard part, I think, on September 9th.
Okay, so you can get a sneak peek
and then,
at some of
the
stuff,
too. So that work will be up, and then that work's going to stay up for maybe for longer term. So the inside space is going to be rotating, but we'll leave those sculptures out for a longer period of time. There aren't that many artists that make big outdoor-worthy sculptures to go to that go in that spot, and so we don't want to cycle through all of them in the first year.
Yeah. Well, plus you want to give people time to get over there to see it.
Yeah, no, exactly.
You know, you hope you're going to, like, what, a movie a week or something, but maybe not. So you might need some time.
Yeah, well, I mean, between the great offerings at the Broadway and also the great offerings by the Utah Film Center.
Oh, too kind.
And also, you know, the other great movies. I'm such a cinephile. I go to 5 movies a week.
Nice.
Like, it's
crazy.
That's
excellent.
Yeah. That's how I spend all of my free time.
I was going to say, I wish I had that kind of free time.
Yeah. Well, some people like go jogging. I just go to movies.
There you go. I would just jog to the movie.
Oh, yeah.
There
no, see,
go.
That's good. No, and then everyone sitting around you really likes it because you're, you know,
you're
smelling
like, smelly,
like sweat. Yeah.
And like,
no, it's good.
I don't sweat. I glisten.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what I tell
myself.
Not all
of us can be the beautiful Mariah.
Oh, that's just lies I tell myself. No, but thank you so much for coming and letting us know about what we can check out between Quack and then also your space over at the Film Society too. It's just so great to have these outlets for local and international artists, and I love how you partner those two together. I think that there's a lot of synergy between that and also mentoring that can be happening, and I think that we could all use a little, you know, outside perspective. So I think that's great that you offer that. So thank you so much.
Awesome.
Thanks for coming to tell us and all of our listeners about that. If you have questions and you need to know more about either these shows or upcoming shows, is it quack.org?
It's cuartcenter.org.
cuartcenter.org. Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Adam, and I hope to see you at the next gallery show.
Okay. I'm sure I will.
Hi, I'm Rebecca.
I'm Danielle.
I'm Crystal.
And I'm Cherry. And if you like your geek news with a bit of a twist, then you'll love
Hello, Sweetie.
Hello, Sweetie podcast brings you the latest and greatest geek news and information from an all-female panel.
We'll bring you the most recent information about movies, TV, comic books,
video games, roller derby, pop culture, and more. Subscribe on iTunes and like us on Facebook.
For your weekly dose of geek culture from a female perspective, tune in to
Hello, Sweetie!
UMOCA is a contemporary art museum located in downtown Salt Lake City. Founded in 1932 as the Art Barn Association, then the Salt Lake Art Center from 1938 to 2011, UMOCA saw a facelift 4 years ago under the direction of former 337 Project director Adam Price. The gallery's new mission was to highlight the best of Utah's contemporary artists, as well as national names you should be watching. The gallery has played host to Sundance showcases, live theater presentations, a mini golf course, and nature-based exhibitions, to name a few. Mariah Mellis spoke with the current executive director, Christian Anderson, about the gallery's current exhibitions and plans for the future.
So you have many shows going on at the exact same time. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about what we'll see here. Now we're looking at the end of September and into October.
Sure. Well, luckily, tomorrow evening we have an exhibition opening. Fearlai Bays is the winner of the Catherine Doctorow Prize in Contemporary Painting. It's a $15,000 artist award we give out every 2 years. And so we're really, really excited to have her work up. She's flown in from Miami to be with us and to meet with people and to sort of explain what it is she's doing. And they're just absolutely gorgeous paintings.
Wonderful. Now, that is excellent that you're able to give away this prize semi-annually or every 2 years. So well, how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, it's really, all credit is due to the Doctorow Foundation. We're the home for this prize, but they're the ones, obviously, that are paying for it. So we, as soon as this exhibition is down, you know, we solicit nominations for artists from curators, critics, gallerists from all over the country and all over the world. The email goes out to an extensive list. And so then they would send in nominations of people that they think would be appropriate for this award. We pick a panel of jurors. Usually it's about five people, two from Utah, and then we bring in three people from out of state. So we're getting a real diversity for what is contemporary painting, you know, nationally. And they spend a long time deliberating. There's laughing and there's crying. There's
a little bit of fighting.
Yeah, some fist fights and some band-aids. But, you know, such is the way in art. And so in the end, usually we've made the decision of who the artist is going to be about a year ahead of time. They get a certain percentage of the money to support the development of the work that's going to go into this show. And then our curator, Becca Maxim, goes out to their studio, wherever their studio is. Sometimes it's been on the East Coast. Sometimes it's been on the West Coast. Sometimes it's been in the middle. And really helps sort of develop and craft this exhibition. So it's really a two-year process to bring this into fruition, and all credit to the Doctorow Foundation for being the ones that support it.
That's wonderful, and what an opportunity for you guys to be able to deliver that and their message and to get acquainted with all these fabulous artists. I'm sure you have tons of people that that are nominated every cycle.
Absolutely, yeah, well over 100 every cycle. So, I mean, we send out 300 to 400 submissions. Like anything else, someone getting nominated is dependent on somebody opening their email and taking the time to fill out a form. So, you know.
Yes, but that can be very tricky.
It can be very tricky. So you end up with 100 to 150 applicants, and then, you know, the jurying process, like I said, is extensive and it's multi-day. And people, I'm really thankful to my colleagues from all over the country who have participated in the past for spending the time to help make this award both exceptionally high quality and to really be impactful to artists. I mean, 15,000 is that's a hefty sum.
Nice. And this is a show that's never been seen before because it was partially crafted to be hosted here. So,
yep, this is all new work.
Is it influenced by the fact that it's here in Utah by that artist typically? Or are they, you know, is she looking at it in like a for Utah audiences? Or is this just...
Really, the purpose of the prize is to really explore what contemporary painting is from the artist standpoint. Okay. So there isn't really a particular Utah connection. It's really definitely looking at their craft and where is sort of contemporary painting now. Painting is a multi-millennia-long discipline that encompasses everything from scandalous nudes to bucolic landscapes. And so anytime we're thinking about what is contemporary, and whether that's in the visual arts, painting, sculpture, what's going on in the food scene, what's going on with our craft brewers here in town. So what is current and contemporary, and really sort of focusing on where the discipline is now rather than it particularly being Utah-centric.
Sure. No, and I love that also about the museum, because it's not, I mean, well, you do highlight and give some space to the local scene. At the same time, you bring a world of art to Utah audiences, which is so wonderful. So it's great to have that, again, I use word like global perspective, to be able to see what's outside of our little area.
Well, thank you. I mean, that's one of the great things about having now six exhibition spaces, is each exhibition space has a particular mission within our organization, an internal mission, I guess, as it were. So like our projects gallery, which is sponsored, has been sponsored by Zions Bank for a long time. Shout out Zions Bank. Is really specifically to artists that are working and practicing in Utah. So that's dedicated to the development of sort of emerging and mid-career artists here. Our largest gallery, the main gallery, is really curating. Right now we have a solo artist and artist project, Mel Ziegler and Kate Erickson's work together. Really thinking about bringing in national and international artists. There'll probably be more of a curatorial theme. You know, before that it was Panopticon, so it was artists that are dealing with issues of surveillance and data mining. So the main gallery is really national, international in scope. And then the street gallery, which is our medium-sized gallery, sort of goes in between those two. It might have Utah artists sometimes, but sometimes it might be a national issue or a single artist exhibition. So it's really the scope.
Nice. Now, I'm in the main gallery, and you mentioned the artist earlier. There's a Grandma's Cupboard, and that is the Kate Erickson and the Mel Ziegler. Tell me a little bit about that.
Sure. So Kate Erickson and Mel Ziegler were a couple who created art together, and they worked as a collaborative team from the late 70s into the mid-90s. Kate passed away at about the age of 38 or 39. So there's a good chunk of this exhibition, which is the stuff that as this collaborative couple, both as an artistic couple and as a personal couple, sort of exploring some of the work that they did. And then there's another chunk of this exhibition that is the work that, you know, Mel has done since then, and certainly involved the process of reinventing himself as a solo artist after all of these years as a collaboration, after losing a life partner and sort of moving to a different state and saying and having to reinvent and figure out how to be by himself, both personally and then as an artist. So there's a lot of emotional depth to the work. I think that there's stuff that's really, really beautiful. There's some tongue-in-cheek irony. It hits on a lot of emotional notes, but it's a definitely a very contemplative, beautiful, sublime exhibition.
Nice. The imagery that I saw from this exhibit so far have just been amazing. And your description of it, based off of the images that I saw, were very accurate. You can just almost feel that loneliness and longing in these half-empty jars of what could be captured air from this particular space. So it is very Absolutely. Crafty and clever in the way that they captured elements of their relationship and also elements post-relationship.
Yeah, the jars were all filled with air from various places in Washington, D.C., whether that was the National Mall, the Smithsonian, the Library of Congress, from the Senate chambers, from out in front of the White House. And so for Mel and Kate, there was a lot of this juxtaposition between having something but having nothing, so it is but it isn't. And also thinking about Washington, D.C. as sort of the political headquarters of our nation, you know, we're all part of it in Washington, D.C., even though it's, you know, quite a ways from Utah, it affects us daily. Mm-hmm. So we, in a sense, own... We are the owners of this public air, but at the same time, I certainly think there's a little disaffection with the political system. So what do we own? A lot of us, I think, feel like we own a heck of a lot of nothing. So
or a lot of hot air.
Or a lot of hot air.
So I'm sure.
Exactly.
The temperature gauge on these jars, we should say.
Exactly.
That's wonderful. Now, that's two exhibits that you've got going on, but there are so many more. So let's see. You also have Andre Frams.
Mm-hmm. Andrea Fromm.
Thank you. Excellent. We Revolve Ceaseless.
Andrea has created, how do I describe this without giving it away? I guess there really is no way.
Because I tried to read it and understand, and I was like, this sounds beautiful, and I don't get it.
Think about it as a giant 8-foot kaleidoscope.
Okay.
Which in and of itself should be intriguing enough to get you down there. It's a beautiful object. Aside from the intellectual content, it's a beautiful object just to look at, and it's run by these motors.
And so there really is an 8-foot.
Oh, yeah, it's a giant 8-foot metal.
Okay, you said think of it, but it really is.
No, it, it, it really
distance in the gallery in 8 foot.
So it is a giant 8 foot kaleidoscope with an aperture that's, you know, if you make a circle with your arms, it's huge.
Oh, excellent.
And it's being turned slowly by this belt driving motor. So in and of itself, it's just a beautiful object. This is the culmination of her artist in residency time at UMOCA.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
We run one of the state's most comprehensive artist in residency programs for contemporary artists. There are 6 studios in the basement of UMOCA. And so artists...
You have artists churning away artwork in the basement. Oh, see,
like,
more interesting than our basement,
like
I would think.
Keebler elves only.
Yes.
Or Santa's elves.
Santa's.
Only without the cookies or the toys.
Oh, I want cookies.
I guess
and
a giant
toys.
Kaleidoscope
yes,
is a toy.
That sounds like a toy.
Or is it a thing? Anyway.
I love that you have this many. Now, how many residencies are going on at the same time then?
6. So we
have all 6.
Yep. So we have 3 artists that come in sort of a winter cohort, and then we have 3 that come in at a summer cohort. And so they get.
And when you say residents, they're staying. Are they? They're not from Utah. You're bringing them in here to work with you guys. I mean, do you
our
house
artists,
them too?
No, our artists right now are all from Utah.
Oh, okay.
Simply because we don't have the funding to house people.
Sure. And
so
that would be difficult.
If we have generous donors, I mean, I know.
Hint, any rich people out there, if you want to house people.
Correct.
Your second home, your third home, that would be great.
I would love to bring in artists from outside of Utah. But so you have this collaborative group of people that's working in the basement. They have, so we have 6 studios. They get free studio space for a year. And part of what we provide is professional training for artists. So we, 4 times a year, we bring in a curator, a critic, a gallerist from outside of Utah. In the spring, we brought in one of the curators from the Walker Art Museum, which is one of the best contemporary art museums
in
the country.
Love the Walker Art Museum.
And he's now at the Warhol Museum. So we're bringing in some pretty big guns to come and do studio visits and critiques and really work with the artists to sort of help move their process along. And one of the things that we also realized is that art school often trains people in a certain level of craft and skill, but you don't get a lot of direct training with, like, how do I get a show in a gallery? So a lot
Sure.
of what we're doing is helping them really with their artist statements, and then how do you professionally interact with museums and galleries in order to be a professional artist?
Oh, sure. Lots of discussions of installation
Absolutely.
And cost and
yeah.
public relations.
Yeah. Timeline management, the importance
oh, yeah.
of working with a marketing team and getting images in.
All the things
in,
that artists typically don't want to deal with.
Correct, but is a necessary evil.
It is.
And so the artist in residency exhibitions are sort of the capstone for their time there. So
that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And so the Andrea's is going to be culminating. This is kind of her finished project of her time here, and then
yep.
she'll kind of graduate from this program.
Yep. So technically, so when she installed the work at the end of August, that was at the end of her residency. So at this point, she has moved out, and she'll come and collect her stuff. But this was definitely
okay.
this was at the end of her time. So the culmination of a year of training and thinking and working with other artists in a collaborative and intellectually stimulating location.
So kind
the basement
of
this
is her
UMOCA.
Final project, you know. That's a lot of fun to see what somebody's come up with after that kind of year of incubation and just kind of generating ideas and feedback from people. That's wonderful.
Yeah, and it's great to be in a space with other artists. When I look at some of our other collaborative spaces here in town, whether that's Captain or the Guthrie or Poor Yorick or others that I know that
this
I'm not saying
this very
right now.
Building, the old Art Sprays Pierpont, used to be quite an incubation area for artists, and we all look back of it longingly as a place that we all created together. So,
like this basement?
Yes, it's very creative. For those that can't see it, all you in Radio Land, it is a very artsy, fun, slightly creepy basement. So, but it is a part of this community. So,
absolutely, and you can't put a price on having those type of collaborations and who pushes you and how one artist's work will then sort of affect the direction of another. It's sort of like the butterfly flapping its wings down in Tierra del Fuego, right?
Sure. I love what you guys do for the local community. I love what you do on a national level, bringing this artwork into to be viewed by Utah audiences. But thank you for just your contributions, and yeah. thank you for the platforms and venues to show these things at, and the open doors. A lot of your openings don't really revolve around gallery show, because you want people to be out going to the galleries, and you've got so many ways for people to view this. You are,
Absolutely.
Open all the time. What are your hours nowadays?
So we're open Tuesday through Saturday, 11 to 6. On Friday evenings, we're open until 9 o'clock. So
every Friday evening.
Every Friday evening.
It doesn't need to be Gallery Stroll, yeah. But if you want to pop in that night, fine.
Absolutely. We're open for Gallery Stroll. We just don't do extra programming. So one of the things that differentiates us from a lot of the Gallery Stroll participants, I mean, there are some other nonprofits there, but for commercial galleries, I think for them, it's the largest marketing time of the month for them by far.
Sure, it's their big night.
Yeah, they probably get more people in on a Gallery Stroll night than the rest of the month combined in general. And I want to be supportive of their endeavors. A strong, vibrant commercial gallery scene supports a strong, vibrant nonprofit art scene. We are in a symbiotic relationship. And so we want to make sure that we're out there supporting them. So you can stop in at Umoca, pick up some maps. We're happy to tell you where to go and send you on your way. And then hopefully we'll see you out having a nosh, a cheese nibble, and some Diet Coke.
Nice. Yeah,
and
so you're
going to
be
beverage.
Out there hopefully checking out the art too. And but you guys have lots of opportunities for like art talks and family-friendly days. So, so many events going on all month long. So that's why, you know, why not be out strolling some of those other spaces, because you've got stuff going on all the time.
Absolutely. Our whole calendar, you know, our website is pretty robust.
That's what I'm about to say. Give them the website
so
they can find out all about all the activities that you do.
All right. It's utahmoca.org. And we're pretty good at keeping it up to date, and there's always a lot of stuff going on. You know, we do about 24 exhibitions a year, and that doesn't include our education programs and the talks and film showings and community partnerships. You know, we collaborate with a lot of other arts nonprofits and cultural nonprofits in town. So there's very rarely does a week go by where there isn't something happening.
Well, and your website is great because I think you get enough to know where to go to participate with those things or what times and places and dates. But it also just a little teaser on every piece of art that you guys are working on, which is excellent. Little teasers,
just a little
videos.
Bit.
Great website. It really is. It really encompasses a lot of the projects that you're working on.
I have an incredibly talented marketing director who handles that side. I have a great curatorial staff, incredible educators, development people, front desk folk. I'm pretty darn lucky. So.
Excellent. Well, we're lucky to have you. So thank you so much for being here today.
Can I make one development pitch?
Sure.
I would be remiss if I didn't, although you might be able to edit it out. So for those of you who don't know, UMOCA is going to be 85 years old in February.
85.
Yep. We're actually older than the Whitney. We are older than the Empire State Building.
Wow.
We're actually older than William Shatner. So that tells you how old
we
are.
That's hard to do.
That is hard to do. So part of our 85th anniversary is we're starting a campaign that's called Art for All, or 85 for 85. So more information can be found on our website, but we're really trying to find 85 groups, donors, or families that are each willing to put in $500, and then we're going to raise a giant banner, plaque. I'm going to get all their names tattooed on my body or on...
Hey, and when you say a family, come on. If you're a family of art people, I mean, I think I can muscle up my family to try and figure something like that out.
Something will be done to celebrate that. But 85 years is a long time. And if we have seen anything, it's because we have stood on the shoulders of giants, right? There's a lot of people that have gone before us, that those of us who are with the organization now in 85 years to make it happen. So we're just happy to celebrate that. So thanks for letting me make my pitch.
Of course. And I hope that you get all those donors and then some.
86 for 85? Oh,
yes.
Man.
Maybe even more. So, well,
thank you.
I know I want my name on a building after 85 years. So let's figure that out.
At the very least.
Yes. Then you know you've made it. So thank you so much, Christian.
My pleasure.
We're so, like I said, fortunate to have you. And I hope that everybody will get a chance to go down and visit you guys at UMOCA.
Thank you. I'll see you all soon.
Thanks for listening to Slug Soundwaves. For all things Slug Magazine, visit slugmag.com. Send us suggestions of what you'd like to hear on the show by emailing us at soundwaves@slugmag.com or hit us up on Twitter @SlugSoundwaves. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Alexander Ortega, that's me, Christian Schultz, Henry Glashing, and John Ford. The executive producer is Angela H. Brown. Our show's theme was performed by Temples, our main logo and art design by Nicholas Dowd, and the technical design was by Kate Colgan. For next week's episode, we'll be interviewing Jess Smart Smiley about Wasatch Arts and Comics Festival. Thanks for listening.